Natural and inevitable though it may be, death confuses us nowadays. All too often, dying seems like a mysterious process full of difficult decisions, like the dilemma Michelle Finn faced after she decided to have her severely brain-damaged husband's feeding tube withdrawn, allowing him to die. So complex and painful are the medical and ethical questions surrounding such an event that it is easy to overlook the fact that until recently, we had a single, simple medical understanding of death. We accepted that people died when their hearts stopped beating and they stopped breathing. It is the absence of those signs that doctors still use to decide death about 90% of the time in hospitals today. Over the past 30 years, though, medical advances have undermined this simple understanding and forced physicians to look beyond the heart for an additional means of defining the end of life. Now that doctors are able to keep a patient's heart beating mechanically or replace a damaged heart with a new one, we have turned to the brain as a place to decide death. The brain cannot be transplanted or replaced by any machine. Without a working brain, people cannot breathe or maintain their blood pressure. They also lose the traits that we commonly associate with humanness, such as their ability to communicate, as well as any awareness of their surroundings. Although widely accepted in medical practice, the concept of brain death has spawned a host of medical, legal, ethical, and philosophical debates. And recently has come under attack by various religious and political groups. Some say that defining death should not be left to physicians, that the death of the brain is not the same as the death of a person. Others resist any definition of death that is based on science and technology. The first challenge had come in the late 50s, with the invention of life support machines that could keep the heart beating. According to the traditional way of thinking about death, patients who are supported by this kind of machine are still alive. Their hearts still pump blood through their bodies, but they cannot recover from severe brain damage, which means they will never again be aware of their surroundings, recognize, or respond to their loved ones, or have any thoughts or emotions. There is a second challenge arising from this century's medical and technological advances. A dying person may be a potential donor of vital organs such as the heart or lungs. If a surgeon operates quickly enough, a heart that has stopped in one body can be removed and transplanted into another, where it can return to normal working, possibly for many years. The stopping of the heart, then, is not a satisfactory way of deciding death. It is important to understand that brain damage is not an all-or-nothing state, though. Some patients cannot move, but can breathe and keep their hearts pumping. Others have lost all brain function and can be maintained solely by machines. The distinction between the two conditions is important. Withdrawing life support in a hopelessly brain-damaged person, as in the first condition, will result in brain death. But that person is not actually brain dead at the time the decision is made. In the second condition, the patient is already brain dead. The importance of this distinction is evident, not only for doctors treating brain-damaged patients, and for families who need to understand their loved one's condition, but also in the question of supplying organs for transplant patients. Since transplantation techniques were first developed, it has been clear there would be more potential recipients than donors. The primary responsibility of the potential donor's medical team is proper care of that patient and the patient's family. Until a patient is declared brain dead, absolutely no steps should be taken to preserve organs for donation. Even if the patient has declared his or her wishes to donate organs or carries a donor card, without clear guidelines for brain death, the basis for deciding whether to stop life support machines and whether it is appropriate to remove organs for transplant is vague, subjective, and likely to change often.